All right. Well, it's a joy to be here tonight. Amen. I wish we'd all left a while ago. I'll be honest. I was going where they was going. It's probably better where they was going than where we are now. But it's a joy to be here. I apologize. I apologize for being late, coming in late. Amen. But Brother Jarvis knows this. We have a meeting this past weekend, and so it takes us about 2 days to recuperate, to be honest with you. And so then we had some things to get done too, like every preacher does, I know. But I do apologize. I don't like to come in late to a meeting. Amen. I'm sure glad I got in time to hear Brother Buster preach. Always a blessing, joy. Does he ever strike out? I don't think he ever strikes out. Amen. I try to get up and bunt, and I can't even bunt. Amen. So, praise the Lord. But it's a joy. And then don't we miss Brother Barry, I'm telling you. Brother Barry, and if he was here on what y'all just did, he would have been right in on that. He's an instigator. Tell him I said so. Amen. Amen. But we sure do miss Brother Barry. Me and my wife was praying for his boy, Blake, as we were coming up the road today. And so we're certainly praying about that. And even ever since we heard about it, I called Brother Jarvis about that. So we're certainly praying. Amen. And then I last night I went up to the church. Amen. And pretty well settled what I was going to preach on. I was going to preach on Moses made a grave mistake at Marber. Amen. He didn't get to go because he tried to make others go. He lost it trying to make them get it. Moses didn't get to the promised land. That's an overwhelming thought to me. And, of course, I got a mess on that, but I'm not preaching that. Amen. And then I was going to preach on the position of the pastor. Now, I've been pastoring 42 years, and I figured I ain't qualified to do that. Amen. I'm still learning more than I've ever learned. Amen. I don't think you'll ever fully comprehend that. But I am preaching tonight. If you would turn to Psalm 142, amen. And I swear to the Lord, really, I got up this morning, went over to the church, and this is what the Lord told me to preach. I'm sure some of you here have heard it before. Matter of fact, Brother Wells woke up. I was in a meeting. I told us, me and Brother Gene was in a meeting together. I told us up in North Carolina. I was in a meeting, and just one night I was going to preach in a tent meeting, and there's a fellow sitting across the aisle from me that I never met before, and he looked over at me, and he said, showed me his Bible. And he had it marked, highlighted, you know, I mean, had it real bold. And he said, I didn't know him. He didn't know me. He said, what do you think about that, preacher? And I looked at the verse and I said, who told you to do that? He said, what do you mean? 42 years, I've never had this happen. He said, well, that's what it's all about right now. That's what it's all about. I said, "Who did somebody tell you to do that? He said, no, I'm showing you. That's what it's all about right there. And it was 1 John 5:13. These things I've written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. I said, sir, that's what I'm preaching on tonight. I've never had that happen. You said, what happened? I don't know what happened, but it sure gave me a lot of confidence. And so we was over there eating a while ago, and Brother Wells walked up to him, and he said, Brother Willis, I heard you preach the message one time about David had a sword, and the sword was making noise. I said, who told you to say that? He said, well, I heard Brother Jarvis told me that you preached something about that. And I said, that's what I'm preaching on tonight. So that's twice in a row. So that makes me a little bit worried. My days might be about over. Amen. But that really happened, amen. So Brother Doug, I don't know what to preach. I don't guess it matters. Brother Doug, I don't know what to preach. You had me preach over there sometime a while back. I don't know if I preach this or not. Amen. If you've heard it before, act like you hadn't, is all I can tell you. Amen. And then again, if you've heard it before, maybe God needs you to hear it again.
That's right.
And then maybe again, you ain't supposed to be here tonight. Amen. Or either I'm not supposed to be here. Praise the Lord. But turn your Bible, if you would, to Psalm 142. If you turn to Psalm 142. As I said, I thought I had it settled till this morning. If you'll stand together, we'll read this good psalm. And again, thank y'all for the great, great, great time together. Again, I apologize for getting here late. Amen. The Lord is good, isn't he? I like that he's on the throne. They were practicing that, Brother Tony. Our youth choir was practicing that the other night. And I went over to the church to get ready for our meeting, and they were practicing that song. We've never sang that song before. And it was about 10:30 that night. They was going over at 10:30, and they were singing "The Half Hadn't Been Told." I said, if we tell the other half, we could be here at 2 o'clock. Somebody help me. Praise God. Oh, the Lord is good. Man, with all these singers we got here tonight, we're going to have a singing. I got saved at a singing. My preaching don't get nobody. I get saved, people lost when I preach. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, if you'll turn there tonight, amen, Psalm 142. And then I want you to sit back down and turn to 1 Samuel 22, and we'll just reference that in the message tonight, all right? Verse number 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I've walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring me out of this prison. Bring me out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, and thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. I feel so unworthy, Lord, to stand in this place. I know I don't have the ability, Lord, to say anything to help anybody, but I pray, God, you to fill me with your spirit and give me liberty and power and unction. And Lord, that's the only thing going to help anybody here tonight. And so help me to do that to the glory of God. Lord, I guess I say so many times, and I really mean it. I'm not here to be a performer, an entertainer. I'm really here to try to live a message I pray would fall on good ground in our hearts and bring forth fruit. And God, through it all, you would be glorified. Help us to do that tonight for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Some years ago, I was reading that verse in devotions one morning, and when I read the verse, I looked back up at the caption. It said, Maskell of David. That's in my Bible. It said, Maskell of David, a prayer when he was in a cave. And that really is what got me interested that particular morning in this psalm. It said it was a prayer when David was in a cave. I believe that's inspired in the sense that it inspired me. That was supposed to be a joke. That didn't go over to my 2 cents. That is not inspired, but it sure helped me. Amen. So I got out of that. He cried from a cave. A cry from a cave. Amen. Maskell simply means to contemplate. It was written for our instruction. Amen. So out of that, I got a cry from a cave. David is in a cave, as we well know. Amen. David learns what he had learned in that cave should be written or should be made known. So he wrote this psalm. Amen. And the first point I see is his prayer that he cried. 3 times it's mentioned in that text, he cried. In verse number 1, the Bible said he cried. In verse number 5, the Bible said, I cried unto thee, O Lord. In verse number 6, attend unto my cry. And so the burden of it, the burden that David had because he was in a cave, amen. I found this to be true. There will be caves in life. It's somewhat debatable, as I read. Adullam was a cave, amen, 1 Samuel 22. And then there was a cave called Engedi in 1 Samuel 24. It doesn't matter. I found this in life to be true. There's going to be more than one cave. There'll be many cave experiences in your life, amen. Personally, I believe from what I studied, it is the cave of Adullam, amen. But nevertheless, there's going to be many cave experiences in our Christian sojourn. So in that cave, he prayed. Now, you know, they can take a lot of things from us, and nobody knows how the outcome of what is happening in our country and in our world. Nobody knows what really is going to happen, amen. It does look kind of destitute if you look at it humanly, amen. But nobody, they can't take away prayer from us. They might take our Bibles. They might shut down our churches. Who knows? I wouldn't say they wouldn't. But I'll tell you one thing they can't stop. They can't stop us from praying. You can pray anywhere. Thank God you can pray anytime. The Bible said Jonah prayed in a whale. Amen. He got on a ship. Amen. He got on a sailboat and ended up in a submarine. Amen. Somebody help me. Jonah prayed in a whale. Paul prayed in jail. The prodigal prayed over his pail. So you can pray anywhere. It was a cry from a cave. Could I say this? And I really mean this. I'm not just using this as words. I've never seen so many caves. I've been pastoring 42 years. I don't know if that's long. It's been long to me, amen. I've been pastoring a little while, but I'm telling you, I've never seen so many cave experiences. I've never seen so many God's people going through so many things. It seems like not hardly a week goes by, you don't hear some dire, dire need that somebody's going through, amen. I found this to be true. Caves are dark places. They're damp places, lonely places, gloomy places, amen. Amen. I remember one time they took me down into a cave over at Ruby Falls. They got on the elevator, amen, and they said, now we're going down into the cave. And I remember we got on that elevator and we went down, 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 down. And then the doors flew open, amen. And we walked out into that cave at Ruby Falls. And of course, they started taking us through that cave, amen. And they got to a place back there and they stopped and they said, now I want to warn you, we're fixing to cut the lights out. And they said, you will now experience total darkness. And I remember when they cut those lights out, it was a total darkness. You've heard the saying, you couldn't see your hand before your face. It was darker than that. It was a dark, dark place, amen. I was preaching this up in North Carolina. After I got through, a man walked up to me and he said, Brother Willis, he said, I don't know about caves, but he said, I worked in the mines in West Virginia. And he said, while we were working the mines similar to a cave, amen, he said, we would have lights in the mines, amen. But sometimes the power would go out. And he said, when the power went out, you couldn't see anything. And he said, here's what we found out. He said, we found out when the lights go out in the mine, you drop to your knees and you find out which way the wind's blowing. Amen. Somebody help me. He said, the wind is always blowing back to where you come in. That's the best point I got right there. I found out when you get in the cave, here's the best thing to do. Fall on your knees and find which way the Spirit is moving in. That'll help you get out of the cave. Amen and amen. So I'm simply saying, caves are real, real dark, lonely, gloomy places that we find ourselves in. And sometimes it looks like there's no way out. And you know, when you go in a cave, you go in with your back to the light. And I'm telling you, things come in your life sometimes, wham! And all of a sudden, after you're in that dark place a little bit, your eyes start adjusting. But when you first get in a cave situation, you don't know what's happened. I mean, you find yourself, and we've dealt with people like, they don't even know they're in shock, amen. I remember when Brother Bertie Edwards died, me and my wife, time we heard about it, got in our car and drove to Sumter, and we got to her house, and she come out in the yard, and she welcomed us in. I mean, he had just died, they had just come and got his body, amen. And she welcomed us in, and she said, Brother, Sister Willis, could I fix y'all something to eat? Would y'all like to have something to drink? In other words, she acted like nothing was wrong. She was in shock. Her husband had just died. I mean, just overnight. I mean, in a moment he died, and she was not adjusting herself to what was happening. Caves will leave you, I mean, just overwhelmed, amen. And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of people are going through cave experiences, amen. Amen. So I see caves of life. I see the complaints to the Lord. Look at verse 2. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Notice what he said. He said, I poured out my complaint before the Lord. He does not say, he does not complain about, but he complained to. And I want to say what Brother Buster said. It's wrong to question God, but it's not wrong to ask God a question. Matter of fact, Jesus down on the cross, he said, my Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? So sometimes we get in situations, maybe we're not questioning God, but we are asking God a question. Amen and amen. By the way, the reason he's in this cave, he's dealt with a giant nobody else wants to deal with. He's killed Goliath. Nobody else wanted to deal with Goliath. But David went out there as a young soldier, and he took on a giant approximately 10 foot tall. Nobody else wanted to deal with him. Saul didn't want to deal with him. I preached a message one time, as you maybe some of you know, I know maybe not all of you, probably most of you never heard it. I preached on how to get ahead. Amen. And that's what David did. He cut his head off, amen, run back to town. Said, I got ahead. I don't tell you, you can get ahead in those kind of situations. Then he come to David and said, hey, David, you killed Goliath, but we don't have nobody to sing at the funeral. He said, hey, well, I'll sing. I got a song. Goliath is dead, and I got his head, and he ain't got nobody. Somebody hit me. Saul turned on David. Hey, he wanted the recognition, but he didn't want the responsibility. You know, I don't want to say much right, I don't want to say much right there, but let me just stop and say this if I can. You know, a lot of times people know how to do it when you're doing it. But just put the burden in their lap. So how you going to handle it now? Well, I really didn't mean that now, preacher. I was just offering some advice. No, you was trying to tell us how to do it because you wasn't responsible. Oh, that's a good point. That is a good point right there. Y'all ain't getting that. They know how to do it till you dump it in their lap. Say, now the responsibility is yours. Well, I really didn't mean nothing by that. Cave experiences. I'm just saying he's in a cave, amen, because he's dealt with a giant nobody else wants to deal with. And you know, we deal with that in the ministry. We're in the ministry today. Back when I first started preaching on how to get ahead, I'll be honest with you. When I first preached that, I just preached it because I saw it in the Bible. But then it became a reality. It is really real. We are fighting giants. We are dealing with some giant issues today. And no disrespect to the great men of God before us, amen. No disrespect. But I'm telling you, they didn't have to deal with some of the things we're dealing with. Man, back then when a man said he was an independent Baptist, that meant the King James Bible. And I'm not rattling that to get an amen. I'm just saying that is not the case anymore. I'm reading behind the independent Baptist pastors that tell you in their commentaries that the King James Bible is not the one. I'm supporting missionaries that turn from the King James Bible. And I'm not saying that. That's so old hat. I don't even want to talk about it. But nevertheless, it's an issue. One of the biggest churches in Charleston, Independent Baptist, left the King James Bible. Amen. Missionaries have left the King James Bible. Preachers have left the King James Bible. In the ministry, we're dealing with that. Amen. And then we're dealing with the demands of salvation. Would you have ever thought one of the leading independent Baptist preachers said you don't have to repent to be saved? Well, tonight I got saved. I don't know if I believe, but I know I repented. I believed all my life, really, mentally, but it had to come a place of repentance. And I heard him say out of my own, when my own heir is sitting under his preaching, that repentance is not in the plan of salvation. Man, I knew better than that, and I was a brand new convert. That's what we're dealing with. Bible says repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. If you did not repent when you got saved, you probably didn't get it. Amen and amen. Except you repent, you're going to perish. How much plainer can that be? You don't have to be a theologian to know that. Even a dumb sinner knows that. Amen and amen. Then the distinction of the sexes. That was mentioned today. Thank God, Brother Buster. We're dealing with that. I don't know what you preachers are dealing with, and yet I do know what you're dealing with. That is the hardest issue in our church. To get people to look like Christians. Now nobody wants to hear that preached no more. But I'm like Brother Buster. Maybe I'm too old. I just cannot back up on that. I don't preach on it every Sunday. I don't preach on it every month. I don't preach on it all the time. I do not. But I'm telling you, if you don't preach on it, it'll take over our churches. And I don't preach that. I wish I didn't believe that. Somebody help me. Yeah, God, if we aren't in a day, you know, it just goes to prove. Here's what I try to tell our church. If you move just a little bit this way, then it's going to call for another move. Hey, who would have ever thought homosexuality would be an issue in our churches? So they got that. Now, you can about count it. They've got the ball rolling in that for sure. I mean, the law of the land is in their favor. It's one thing when a nation does it. It's another thing when a nation sanctions it. So that issue has been sanctioned by the country. It's not sanctioned by God. So they've got that issue. You say, well, that's as far as it's going. Now it's transgender. And it will not stop. It's not going to stop. What you give in to, you think, well, I'm going to stop right there. You will not stop. You'll go to the next step. And then the next step. And then the next step. So that's what we're dealing with. You know what I heard? What's that fellow named Charlie Kirk? I've been listening to him. I know he's probably not a Baptist, but I'm going to tell you what. He's taking a better stand than a lot of us Baptists. And then David Barton. I've been listening to the historian David Barton. Here's what I heard David Barton say the other day. He said, not even quite 3% of the pastors and the churches in America are confronting the issues. He said, of all the churches in America, if we'll just round it off, he said, only 3% are confronting the issues of our day. Now, he's talking about homosexuality. He's talking about issues that we all know are wrong. He said, hey, some churches may believe it, but they're not going to confront it. Yeah, God, if it's wrong, I'm by the help of God, I'm going to confront it. Now, I'm not going to be mean about it. Well, I hope I won't be. They won't confront the issue. That's why we're where we are. Amen. That's why the convention got to where the convention is. That's why the independent ballots are going down the same road. I don't preach this everywhere I go, but I'm telling you, somebody better stand up and holler, amen. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and warn my people. It's what he said. It's what he said. You don't do, I tell our young people, I'm not doing that to be mean. I'm doing that to protect you. I'm trying to build a fence around you, amen. Amen, amen. So I remember, then I meant it. That's in the ministry. We could go, hey, women are wearing tattoos and men are wearing Tonys. The women are building muscles and men are getting manicures. Hey. Somebody help me. In the ministry, we're dealing with issues. Amen. Then our members are going, they're fighting giants. They're fighting giants of disease and sickness. Cancer, depression. Just talking to a young lady a while ago. We got my church secretary. She wouldn't mind if I told her. I'm not off from the church telling something on her. As a matter of fact, she said, preacher, get everybody to pray for me that you can. My church secretary is in depression. And I am telling you, it's so contrary to what she is. And she is in deep, deep, deep depression. And she said, preacher, get everybody to pray for me. She can't even function. She cries all day long. She shakes like this. That is so foreign to her. Depression. Man, we're dealing with depression. Amen and amen. I called Brother Dale Massengill to get him to pray. And he said, Brother Willis, I will. I said, Brother Dale, here's why I'm calling you. This lady is she grew up in our church. And she's our church secretary. And if I don't even have to think it. She knows. She does it before I think it. You understand? Like my right hand. Y'all ain't interested in all that. I'm just telling you. She's in depression. Got a young man in our church. Got two little beautiful girls. Just come down with cancer. Amen. It's everywhere. Sickness and disease. Amen. Divorce and separation. Hey, we're dealing with, that's like death. By the way, we better reach that crowd because that's half the population. I ain't shunning that crowd. I want that crowd to know I care for them. The only hope and help is Jesus. Amen. Amen. And it's half the country. Amen and amen. And I'm telling you, get them saved. And they're some of the best church members you can. We had a boy stand up in our church yesterday. Brother Jim, Brother Murray was there and testified. He was in the deepest, deepest, darkest sin he could get in. And his family got all busted up. And he gloriously got saved in a men's home. And now God has turned his life around. Thank God, thank God. Wanted some of that. And now he's got him a wife now, amen. He got remarried. You say, well, you shouldn't have let him remarry. You tell him that. I'm glad he did. He's got 5 kids. How you expect me to grow a church? Amen. Amen. Is anybody listen? I'd like to get about another dozen like that, amen. Somebody help me. I know y'all in these thriving metropolis. Y'all got all these people. Come to St. Stephen. Amen. One stop, had two, and they took one down. Divorce and separation. People are going through, they're in the pits, man. What's the answer? The church. Death of the spouse. Man, since COVID. I'm telling you, Brother Jarvis, I got a list right here. I ain't got time to read it. Brother Doss' wife died. Brother Carey's wife died. Brother Dobbin's wife died. Brother Johnny Jones' wife passed away. And on and on and on I could go. On and on and on I could go. about men who lost their wife, and I wake up every morning and I say, I call their names out. I say, oh God, I feel over there and my wife is there. And I say, thank God my wife is there. But they don't have that. They're going through dark valleys. And I could spend a lot of time there that I don't need to. Depressing situations. Amen and amen. I had a boy in our church that his daddy was his granddaddy. Figure that out. And he was so messed up. Brother Buster, he was so messed up in his mind. We put him in homes. Our churches and our family kept him in their home. We did everything we know. And he was so messed up in his mind, we never could get him straightened out. When your daddy's your granddaddy. Man, that's all around. How about what's coming out of the, going into and coming out of detention centers? Brother Lance said it was not unusual in the prison. Now, he's not in the prison like he was since COVID. But he said, preacher, it's not unusual to have a daddy and his son in the same prison. To have a mom and a daughter in the same prison. That's where we are. Depressing situation. Oh, are you listening to me? He said his complaints were vocal. He said, I cried with my voice. Amen. In other words, I see David, you know what Brother Buster said is that David is almost like Job. Man, you read David in the Bible, David went through all kind of horrible things. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm just saying there's caves. Ain't no doubt sitting right here in this building tonight with a crowd inside, there's people in lonely, gloomy, dark caves. Is anybody listening? So I see the caves of life. I see the complaints to the Lord. I see complications of life. Look what he said in verse 2. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him my trouble. He said, I got trouble. David said, I got trouble. He said, I got pressure within. Look in verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me. He said, I'm overcome. I got pressure within. Overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. It tells me to the point of fainting. I read over there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, the Bible said, for we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above, strength insomuch that we despaired even of life, for we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. Here's what they tell me about David. Here's what they tell me about Paul. He thought he was going to die. The pressure of life and things that come in our lives was so great, he didn't think he could make it through it. And David is saying, I'm overwhelmed at the pressures on me. David is running from Saul, and Saul is out not to pat him on the back, but to kill him. And David said, I'm overwhelmed with the pressures within. Amen. Then the pressures without, look in the latter part of verse 3, in the way of wherein I've walked, they have privily laid snares for me. He said, not only the pressure within, but the problems without. Amen. He said, they've laid a snare. They're watching me. They're trying to trap me. They're trying to catch me saying the wrong thing. My words, my walk, my ways. They're trying to catch me so they could have something against me. Amen and amen. I just found this to be true in the ministry. You can say the wrong thing and lose a family. I get in trouble in the announcements. Is anybody listening? I can't stand announcements. Had a fellow come to me one time when we first started that church. He said, I got three things against you, and I'll just tell you one. He said, I got three things against you, Brother Willis. I said, what's that? He said, number one, your announcements is too long. I said, glory to God, hallelujah. I said, I've been wanting to get out of them announcements now for 2 or 3 years, and you just told me they're too long. Hallelujah, no more announcements, amen. I would tell you the other two, but they don't, not too important. Amen. I'm just simply saying the caves of life, the complications of life, about caves that come in our life. Hey, the doctor told me when I had my first heart attack, and I know y'all have heard about that. I don't want to go into a lot of detail. When I had my first heart attack, and they did open heart surgery on me, here's what the doctor asked me after I got a little bit better. He said, what's your profession, Mr. Willis? I said, I'm a pastor. He said, that's your problem. That is what he told me. I said, do what? He said, that's your problem. I said, no, doctor. He said, you got pressure on you. I said, Doc, I don't feel no pressure. I really, I didn't. I said, I don't feel no pressure. He said, but you got it. You might not know you got it, but you got it. And so I said, well, I don't feel like I have that. And he said, well, I'm just at the stress of pastoring. And I'm not knocking down the ministry. There's stress in everything. But he says stress is one of the main reasons your heart is messed up. Amen. So, you know, I got through that. Amen. That was up in Johnson City, Tennessee. And we got back home, took us back home. And I am telling you, now, this is not a pity story. And it don't even compare to some of y'all's stories. But I'm going to tell you, I got back home, man, I got in depression. I couldn't read my Bible. I couldn't pray. And I know some of y'all heard that. And I even think some, maybe some of you think I'm exaggerating. I'm telling you, I couldn't read my Bible. You said, oh, you could have read your Bible. Well, I'm just telling you, I couldn't. I would pick my Bible up, and I couldn't pray. And man, it's like the devil, so to speak. I know he didn't, but like he said, it's over for you. You won't preach no more. You won't pastor no more. And that ain't that. I was preaching down somewhere. I was preaching somewhere, and I told that story. And then after I got through preaching, we went to get something to eat. And the preacher was telling me what he went through because he had open heart surgery. And by the time he got through, I wanted to go back to the church and apologize that I told that story. His story was so much worse. He said, they put me through a procedure preaching. He said, when I got through that procedure, I confessed that. He said, I said, God, I'm sorry. I listened to rock music in Walmart. I will never do that again. And when he got through with his story, I said, I'm going to go back tomorrow night and apologize. I told mine. Yours is so much better than mine. Worse, but better. Is anybody listening? He said, they stuck something up my nose. They said, they stuck something up my nose. And they took a thing, went, shook, 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 shook. He said, my Lord have mercy. He said, I beg, oh, God, I won't do wrong no more. I said, mine wasn't that bad, brother. Is anybody listening? Oh, Lord. I'm just telling you, man, you can get some cave experiences. Amen. You say, well, that would never, I would not say that if I, don't tell me you, that would not have, don't tell me that. I feel sorry for you, amen. You can get there, friend. Amen and amen. Mama used to tell me when she got in depression, she said, I feel like she got in depression. And she said, Bubba, I feel like it's up there and I'm trying to get it and I can't reach it. I said, Mama, think how good God's been. She said, I know He's been good. She wasn't fussing there. I said, Mama, look how good God's been. God's blessed you. You got cars and you got a house and you got me. That's probably why she was depressed. Amen. Somebody help me. She said, Bubba, I know everything you're telling me. She's the one taught me. She said, but it's like I'm reaching out and I can't grab it. Depression for real. People in dark valleys. Dark valleys. The young lady at our church told me, my wife, just a few weeks ago, she said, I feel like I'm going in a hole. Brother Gene, she said, Preacher, I feel like I'm going in a hole. And I'm reaching up trying to get out. You can get there. Amen. David, that's where David was. Are y'all listening? Amen. The prayer he cried. Amen. The people that cared. Look in 1 Samuel. Look in 1 Samuel 22, if you would. He's in the cave of Adullam. Look in 1 Samuel 22. Now, I'm in a hurry now, all right? David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all of his father's house heard it, they went down thither to see him. So get this picture now. He's in a cave. He's by himself. His family says that they're coming, but they're not there yet. So get this picture now. Notice his feeling. He's in this cave. Nobody's there yet because the Bible said they're coming. But they're not yet there yet. And notice what he said. Notice what he said in verse number 1. He said in verse number 2. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So he's in this cave. Nobody's there yet. They're on the way. This crowd is on the way, but they haven't got there yet. So he has nobody with him. So he feels like he has no friends. I'm by myself. Saul's out to kill me. I have nobody here in the cave with me. And he feels like he has no friends. But you know the truth of the matter is, you know why he's in the cave? Because he's got a bunch of friends. Because they said, David has killed, Saul has killed his thousand, but David has chanted, he's killed his 10,000. He's got 10 times more friends than Saul. But when you get in cage, you feel like you have no friends. When I went through my little bout of depression, I mean, cards come to me, people sent me things from one wall to the other with names all over it. But you know what? I'll tell you what depression will do with you. It'll make you, you won't be thankful for that. You'll think about, well, so-and-so didn't send me nothing. That is the trick of the devil. He'll get your eyes on who didn't send nothing. Instead of putting your eyes on the hundreds that did, he'll get your eyes on the one that didn't. Somebody better listen. You feel friendless. Your feelings are I have no friends. And that's why he's in the cave. Because Saul is chasing him because he's jealous of him. Amen and amen. Hey, I have no family. He said no one cares. Notice what he said in our text. Nobody cares. No, that's what our text said. He said when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, he said in verse 4, I looked on my right hand, beheld there was no man. That's got to be family. Could I get an amen? No man would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared. That's friends. That's family. I have no friends. I have no family. But they're on the way. Are you listening? You can't go by your feelings. They're dark. They're lonely. It's gloomy in a cave. Amen. Then notice his faith. Look at his faith. Look in verse 5. He said, I cried unto the Lord. Oh, Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry. He said what? Look in verse number 6. He said, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than me. So we see his feelings. We see his faith. Oh, Lord, I'm weary. In verse number 6, he says, I'm weary. I'm brought very low. I'm weary. Now, this is the psalmist. This is David, the psalmist. Y'all stay with me just a minute. I'll be through. He's weary. This is the man who wrote Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is the man who wrote the Psalm 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. This is the man that wrote Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This is the man that wrote those psalms. But now he's saying, I have no friends. I have no family. I'm weary. Amen. He said, I'm weak. I like this right here. Look in verse 6. He said, for they are stronger. Look in verse 8. For they are stronger than I. My persecutors are stronger than I. Wait a minute, David. Your persecutors. Goliath. You killed Goliath.
Sure.
And I know Saul was big, but he wasn't big as Goliath.
That's right.
He said, my persecutors are stronger than I am. And he's walking. Now, he's in that cave. But I got to show you this now. I got to show you this. And I'm almost through. Almost through. Look back in 1 Samuel. Look back in 1 Samuel. Look in chapter number 21, the previous chapter. Look what he said. And the priest said, well, look in verse 8. And David said unto Ahimelech, and there's not hair under thy hand, spear nor sword, for I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, here it is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take it, take it, for there's none other save that hair. And David said, there's none like it, give it to me. So David put Goliath's sword on. And now David is saying, my persecutor's stronger than me. But he's got Goliath's sword on. And he's in a cave. And Goliath's for 10 foot tall. Now this wouldn't be hard to imagine. I'm not trying to add anything to the Bible. I would think Goliath's sword was longer than a regular sword. And he's got Goliath's sword on. And he's walking in the cave. Oh, Lord, I'm depressed. I ain't got no... Clank, clank. Clank, clank. Clank, clank. Lord, no friends, no fan. Clank, 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 clank. David, how about the sword? That's Goliath. I beat Goliath. Hey, there's a message in the sword.
Amen.
Hey, clang, clang, there's a message in the song. Clang, clang, you won.
one. Clang, clang. You beat him. Clang, clang. Listen to the sword. Hey, when you get in depression, listen to the sword. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The sword's got a message to help you when you're in your valley. Amen. You know, sometimes I found this to be true. I couldn't read it. But my wife read it to me. You go think this is a Phil Kidd story, but it's the truth. My wife was reading the Bible to me one morning. I'm telling you, I couldn't read it. And my wife said, I'll read it to you. And she read it, Psalm 57, right? Psalm 57. And she got down there just read. We just picked the psalm up. She got down there and it read. I'm laying up there in the bed. Couldn't read it. See, y'all don't know what's coming, but I do. And she's reading from the sword. And it said, my heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I said, don't read that no more. I can't. You know they give you them pillows? You know they give you the pillow? Thank God I had that pillow, amen. I said, don't read that no more. I can't take it. There's a mess in the sword. I couldn't read it, but she read it to me. Amen. Sometimes you get in the cave, you can't pray, you can't read, but somebody can pray for you. The Bible said when Peter was in jail, the church prayed. If you was in jail, if I was in jail, my church would be shouting, oh, Lord, y'all. Are you listening? Sometimes you can't pray. Somebody got to pray for you. I ain't been where y'all been. I'm telling you, I've not been where some, but I've been where I couldn't pray. But I'm glad I had a church praying for me. I'm glad I had my wife to read the Bible. At that time, I thought she was called to preach. Amen. But you wouldn't want to hear her. You couldn't take it. It's all I can do to take it, amen. I'm weak, Lord, I'm weak. No, David, you're not weak. You're not strong. You're not weaker than your persecutor. You killed Goliath. Hey, that's what depression does to you. Makes you feel friendless, makes you feel feeble. Man, I'm telling you, I'm trying to preach. I'm afraid I'm saying too much because I know I hadn't had it like some of y'all. But I'm telling you, man, this thing will get you. Amen, amen. You think sometimes you think, will I get better? You reckon I'll get better? Amen, amen. The young lady in our church. She's been to doctor after doctor after, and the doctor told her the other day, said, Miss Tammy, I'm going to tell you something now. What you're going through ain't going to get over in a night. He said, I'm telling you, you're looking at a good year. Just if things progress like they're supposed to, you're looking at a good year before you can get back to function. And man, it's got her devastated. And I guess I'm on her tonight because I love her. I mean, and she wouldn't care if I tell you because she said, preacher, get everybody to pray for me you can. Are you listening? Amen. Brother Dale told me, he said, preacher, I called him up to pray for her. He said, preacher, I had the identical situation in my church years ago. The identical. What you're telling me is identical. He said, I've never seen anything like it. I'm just simply saying to us, amen. He went from slaying a champion to sitting in a cave. This man went from beating a giant to sitting in a cave in depression. Amen. Are you greater than David? Man after God's own heart. A cry from a cave. Amen and amen. I give you this and I'm through. The prayer he cried, the people that cared, the promises to which he could cling. Notice in verse 7 and I'm through. Verse 7 and I'm through. He said, the righteous shall, notice what he said, if I can find the page. The righteous shall compass me about. Bring my soul out of prison, I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about. Look back in verse Samuel, and I'm through. Verse 22. The Bible said when he was in that cave, he didn't think nobody, but they were on the way. Then notice what happened. And everyone that was distressed, and everyone that was dead, everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. While he's sitting in that cave, thinking nobody's, but they were on the way. He didn't know they were on the way.
But they finally got there. Now look at the crowd that got there. Bible said, first of all, they were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontented. And I put right in my notes. I got this in my notes. You can come look at them. That's Life Baptist Church. Distress, in debt, and discontented. Is anybody listening? I'm telling you, the devil had him in prison, but he's going to come out praising. I found this to be true. I'm not telling you I could practice it like ordinary, but I'm telling you, if you can learn to praise God, I think praise will get you out of depression quicker than prayer. Because it's natural to pray. It is not natural to praise. Are you listening? When Paul and Silas was in jail, I really believe that's one reason they got out. That they prayed. I know they prayed. I was in jail one time and I prayed. And I didn't even know God. I'm serious. I said, God, if you get me out of this, I'll never come back and do this again. Amen. And I didn't even know God, amen. But I prayed, but I wasn't singing psalms, I can tell you that. I was saying, oh, where's my brother to come get me, amen. Because I didn't want mom and daddy to come. Are y'all listening? Hey, sometimes the devil will put you in jail, but God can put you on bail. Amen. Hey, the fellowship, the righteous shall compass me about. And here they come. Here's come this encouraging crowd. In debt, discontented, amen. What a crowd. But he was glad to see them. And when you're in a cave, you're glad to see anybody. Amen and amen. They was glad to see David, but David was glad to see them. When you're in a cave, anybody looks good. I've seen in our church, I've been there 42 years. I've seen the roughest, toughest bums walk in. You could. I said, thank God they're here. Anybody listening? You say, well, that's what you don't build. You can't build a church on that. I can build it. They're a soul, ain't they? Yes. Amen and amen. And they did come. They must have been in debt. They said, preacher, you got any money? Yeah. Yeah. That's the truth. It's the truth. That is the truth. Y'all know that to be true, amen. But I'm glad we had some people that win money, amen, so we could give them some money. We had a fellow walking in our church not so long ago. I am telling you, talk about a sad situation. I mean, he walked in, you know, he couldn't help it, but his leg was about to rot off. Literally. I took him to the nursing room, Brother Gene, and the nurse told him to pull his sock down, and the nurse gagged. I was there, and I said, really, I did. I said, ma'am, do you need me in here any longer? I did. She said, well, no, we don't. I said, just call me when you get him fixed, amen. It was depressing. Brother Doug, he pulled his sock down. I know we done had supper. He pulled his leg, looked like. The nurse went, she did. She went. I said, Don, your leg, it was looked like it had rotted off. But I'm glad he came. And then he had no place to stay. He had no place to stay. We bought him a little camper and put him in a camper. Amen. His son, he's got a son. And I'm not knocking this. I'm simply saying, I know I'm preaching too long. Hey, he has a son that has seizures. And one night, Brother Raines and them was there. And we was having a Christmas party. And the son had one of those seizures. I mean, like a fit. He couldn't help it. I'm not knocking that. But man, he just started up and doing all kind of hollering and crazy things. And I went over to Brother Raines. I said, Brother Raines, welcome to Life Baptist Church. Is anybody listening? But hey, they look good coming. You say, preacher, you have those kind of people? What kind you got? I'm glad to see anybody come. I'm serious. I'm not trying to cut. I'm glad to see anybody come. Hey, he professed to have gotten saved. Are you listening? We bought him a little camper for him to have a place to stay. He sold it. Said he couldn't pay the rent. So we bought him a camper. And he stayed in there a little while and sold it. So I said, now he's back in the place he rent. I said, Don, this don't make real good sense. Man, y'all leave me alone. I was glad to see him come. Some years ago, I was preaching. And I know some of y'all have heard this. I was preaching down in Lafayette, Georgia. I'll never forget. It was Brother Gene Boss. And he had a church on Hog Jowl Road. Honest, Hog Jowl Road.
And I was preaching revival there. And I was preaching one night, and God told me to preach this message. I preached this message in our church on a Wednesday night. It didn't get off the pulpit. And God said, tonight I want you to preach on a cry from a cave. I said, Lord, now you've got to be kidding. I said, I preached that at the house, and it didn't fly. He said, I want you to preach that. I ain't trying to be spiritual. And I couldn't get away from it. I said, all right, Lord, if you want to preach it, I'm going to preach it. You know it didn't go nowhere last time. He said, preach it. I got it and preach it. I got to church that night. They called this lady out to sing. And what door time? And I'm not just doing this. The lady, the preacher called a lady up to sing and said, sister, come. When she got up, she had a covering on her head. And she went up to the piano. She said, everybody, it's evident I've got camps and I'm going through treatment. And so that's why I've got this cap on. And she said, but while I'm going through this trial, deepest valley of my life, she said, God gave me this song. And she sang that song. And I'm telling you, Brother Doug, it was tremendous. You know they didn't want to preach after that. So I got up and I preached this message. And she came to me afterwards and she said, Brother Willis, you will never know what that message meant to me. She said, I'm in the darkest cave I've ever been in. I said, God bless you, sis. God bless you. And so we went out to the fellowship hall, and the real pianist, not her, but the real pianist, come over and sat down with us. She said, Brother Willis, you preached that message tonight. It reminds me of my husband. I said, what do you mean by that? Said, he's a deputy sheriff. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, he's a spelunker. I said, a what? She said, a spelunker. I said, excuse me, ma'am, I'm from Cottageville. St. Stephen now, which is maybe a step above. I said, I don't know what a spelunker is. She said, well, I know that people investigate caves, but they're also people that help people that are caught in caves. And my husband's a deputy, and he gets called all the time to go in caves and get people to get lost in them caves and get them out. I said, you have got to be kidding me. And what's that word? She said, spelunker. I looked it up. It's in the dictionary. It's not in the Bible, but it's in the dictionary. Spelunker. They go in caves. I said, that is unbelievable. So I was somewhere else. God said, preach that message. And I preached it. A man walked up to me and said, preacher, I went to the doctor's office the other day. And he said, I went to the desk and the receptionist said, the doctor's not here. He said, where is he? He said, he's going to Pennsylvania. He's a spelunker. I said, a spelunker? He said, yeah. So I was preaching in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, and somehow the Lord led me to preach this message. And somebody walked up to me after the service and said, preacher, I was in the military, and he said, in the Navy, and he said, we used to go down in the caves, in them caves, in the ocean. He said, because it got caves in the ocean. And said, I was on a team of spelunkers. I preached this message in prison. A man walked up to me in prison after I got through. He said, preacher, you ain't going to believe this, but my daddy is a spelunker. I preached this message up in West Virginia. I said, now, this is really working in West Virginia. You know, caves. Yeah. I preached this message in West Virginia. A man walked up to me. He said, preacher, he said, I'm a deputy sheriff. He said, we get calls all the time to go get people out of caves. So, matter of fact, we had one man. This is what he told me. I'm telling you now. I'm telling you what he said. He said, we had one man went winding through caves, and he got to a real narrow place, and he tried to get through, and he got stuck. And he couldn't go forward, and he couldn't come back. And he got excited, and he swole up. That's what he told me. And he said, we had to literally go in there, and I'm not trying to sound uncouth, and strip him down and pull him out. Of that, I got a mess out of that. When you get in the cave, don't swell up. I'm telling you, that's right. What the man told me. Are you listening? And just I preached not just about a month ago in North Carolina, and an 80-year-old man walked up to me and he said, preacher, I ain't believing you preached that message. I said, well, he said, you see me? I said, yeah. He said, I'm a spelunker. Just spelunker after spelunker after spelunker. But I found something in the Bible called Lazarus. The Bible said in John 11:38, he was in a cave. He was buried in a cave. And Jesus went down to the cave. And Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got out of the cave. Jesus was reverently a spelunker. And thank God one day we was in a dark, dark cave of sin, and Jesus came to where we were and got us out the cave.
Is anybody listening? Man, I'm too old to holler like that. Are y'all listening? Amen, amen. Give me this and I'm through. Give me this and I'm through. You know what I found to be true? Amen. When people get caught in caves, they get equipment. They get manpower. They get lights. They get air. They get generators. They get everything they can to get them air and light so they can survive in a cave. Amen. You know what we got to do? We got to get the light to them. We got to get the Holy Spirit to them. Amen and amen. I'm through. I'm through. Amen. Hey, he was looking. They were looking for David, but David was glad to see them. Call by the Chroma Bible, I'm through. Years ago, I had a call. Man on the other end of the phone. He said, Brother Willis, Pastor Willis. I said, yes, sir. He said, my name is so-and-so. I was in the Berkeley County Jail. He said, y'all came in there and left tracks in there. Y'all preached in there, but y'all left tracks in there. He said, I think it's Kirkland. I think at that time it was Kirkland, one of the main facilities in Columbia. He said, I'm in the facility in Columbia. And he said, I want you to come see me. I said, man, that's 100 miles, you know. He said, yeah, I want you to come see me. He said, I read one of your tracks. He said, and in my bunk in the Berkeley County Jail, I read that track and I gloriously got saved. He said, now they put me in Kirkland facility up in Columbia. I think it's Kirkland. But anyway, Kirkland, we'll say Kirkland. And so I went to see him. And I walked in the reception room there after they got through all them cells and all them doors. I walked in the reception room and here this young black guy come walking out. And he walked up to me. He said, you Pastor Willis? I said, yes, sir. He said, man, I'm glad you come to see me. He said, preacher, I have to be honest with you. I'm in prison for life. I murdered a man. He said, but I got a hold of that track. And I read that track. And he said, I gloriously got saved. And I'm telling you, Brother Buster, he wasn't trying like to quote scriptures. It's just when he talked, the Word of God would come out. The Word of God would come out. The Word of God would. It was like it was flowing. It was flowing. He wasn't trying to impress me that he memorized. It's just all his talk was scripture, 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 scripture. And he said, preacher, I got saved. He said, I got in this prison. I started trying to get in the Word of God. He said, I want the Word of God to get in me. And then this is what he said. He said, preacher, look at all that barbed wire. Look at all that barbed wire. He said, but can I tell you something? He said, I am free in this prison with all that barbed wire than I was out there on the street. He said, I want to tell you, God got me saved and delivered me from that wicked, wicked world. You know what God did for him? He got him out of the cave of sin. I don't know what your cave is tonight, but as you know this, God can help you. Amen. Let's stand together and pray. Father, please help somebody tonight, Lord. Only you know what needs to be done, what needs to be said. Help Brother Robert, help the singers, whatever, musicians. God help somebody get some help. That's our prayer. Oh, God bless us. Thank you. Thank you for letting us be with God's help. And help the people out there, Jesus.